Welcome back to another edition of Bardo's Breakdown. I'm your host, Stephen Bardo. And for those that are joining us this week, you missed out last week, buddy. Had a great session with Mark Adams, ESPN broadcaster, author, speaker. He dropped some serious content and knowledge on us. And we expect more of the same, if not more, from our next guest. Dave Armstrong has worked for ESPN, Fox Sports, and Big 12 Conference. He has been the voice of the Big 12 for the past 25 years. He has also broadcast Major League Baseball, NFL, and various other conferences in major colleges. In other words, he's seen it all. Dave is the author of the book, Driving From Here to Wow, which is a tremendous read because I read it and loved the book. It's my pleasure to welcome Dave Armstrong. What's going on, Dave? How you doing, man?
Stephen, it is good to talk to you, my friend. I'm doing great, and I hope you are as well.
Let's jump right into it. You know, it's said that people really can't hear you, they can't understand you until they know a little bit about you. Share with the listeners how and why you got into sports commentating.
Well, Stephen, it started a long time ago when I was probably about 8 years old. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. My dad was a firefighter and a big sports fan, especially a baseball fan, and that made me a baseball fan, and love the Detroit Tigers, and I could always imagine myself, you know, going to Tiger Stadium and wearing that white uniform with that classic D on the chest. And then I realized probably by the time I was 8 or 9 that I had no athletic ability. And so if I was going to make it to Tiger Stadium, it's going to have to be another way. And, you know, I started looking at Ernie Harwell and listening to his broadcasts. And, you know, I'd go to the games and I'd be looking up at the broadcast booth area and, you know, just watching him call a game and then listening on my transistor radio. And, you know, it took a long time for that dream to come true. I finally got the chance in 1993 after actually starting my broadcast career in 1976, but it was 1993 before I actually made it to the big leagues with the Kansas City Royals. And then I went on from there to the Colorado Rockies. But everything, honestly, Stephen, starts with a dream. And, you know, if you don't take action, though, to your dreams, they just kind of lay there and do nothing. But it started with that dream as an 8 or 9 year old kid, thinking I could be a broadcaster one day. And eventually I made it. And a lot of it was perseverance and hard work and starting off after college in small market radio stations like Chanute and Coffeyville and Hayes. And then I got a big break in Wichita, Kansas, when our TV station there started doing a lot of local events with, you know, just our local crew, and I started doing Kansas basketball and Kansas State basketball and football and other events all throughout the Sunflower State. And, you know, and then I got my big break in 1988 with Raycom Sports when they hired me to do Big 8 basketball. And, you know, once I got that stamp of approval from Raycom, one thing led to another, and I've just, you know, I just really feel like a very, very ordinary guy who's had a chance to lead an extraordinary life.
Well, what a mentor to follow in Ernie Harwell, the great broadcaster of the Detroit Tigers. I mean, I've heard plenty of Detroit natives talk about how much they miss him. And you talked about your break with Raycom Sports. I was looking to see if there was an aha moment for you, Dave, that you knew that you could do this for a living.
Yeah, I think it was when Raycom called. But, I mean, I guess I never really even thought that I couldn't do it. No one ever told me, hey, you ought to get out of this and go sell insurance. And,
okay.
You know, I was stubborn enough and determined enough to make it. There were probably a lot of times along the way, you know, and I tell young broadcasters this, if you're not passionate about doing it, don't even try, because it takes a great passion to be able to, you know, withstand the fact that in the beginning of your career, most likely, you're going to struggle, and you're going to make very little money, and you're going to see your other college friends, you know, starting off with salaries twice or three times what you're making. And that can be troublesome, and it can really, if you're not determined, you're not going to make it, unless you're just brilliantly talented, and you come right out of college and you're terrific, like Bob Costas was, you know, or Joe Buck, or some of these guys that, you know, they just go from one thing right to another, and they really never had those growing pains. But if you're just an ordinary guy like me, and, you know, and you have to go to those small markets and pay your dues, and I guess I just never thought I wouldn't make it. But then when Raycom put that stamp of approval on me, it wasn't necessarily that I started believing I could do it, but it was just that other people started believing that I could do it.
Right.
And so the phone, you know, that used to go unanswered, all of a sudden, people were returning my calls. And,
Isn't that funny how that works?
One thing led to another.
During your ascent up the ladder in terms of your broadcasting career, what was the most challenging stop along the way and why?
Well, I would think Hayes, Kansas was the most challenging. I had already been in small market radio and TV for 3 years, and I was ready to make that, you know, next move. And by then, I was already in my mid-20s, and I felt like, you know, I really wasn't going anywhere, and my career just already stalled before even really getting started. And I was in Hayes for only a year. Great people there, terrific station, terrific ownership. They treated me like a king, and they were terrific. It was just that I was ready for something bigger and better. And in fact, I almost got out of the business then. I was there for 11 months, and I was just very frustrated. And I literally came home one night, and I wrote out a letter of resignation, and I dropped it in the general manager's underneath his door to his office. And I came home and I told my wife that I'd finally had it. I don't know what I was going to do, but I was just frustrated with my career kind of going nowhere. And we talked till about 2 or 3 in the morning, and you know, and her wisdom was enough to say, "Well, it's great that you want to quit and do something else, but why don't you find something else first before you quit the only paying job we have?" And so I went back to the station at 3 o'clock in the morning and dug that letter out from underneath the general manager's door. And the next day, I kid you not, the very next day I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm kind of depressed and thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the phone rang, and that's when Wichita, Kansas called, and they offered me a job as their sports director. And, you know, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I've been lucky that way. It always seems like just at that point when I think, I don't know if I want to do this anymore, some another big break happens. You know, when I was in Wichita for 7 years and I was a sports anchor, and I'd been sending Raycom Sports tapes of my work for 4 years straight and never even got a, "Hey, got your tape, quit sending them to us, you're no good." I never even got any kind of a reply at all. I would call and say, "Hey, what's going on?" And no one would ever return the calls. And then one day out of the clear blue, I heard from a guy named Peter Rolfe, and he was just taking over as executive producer at Raycom Sports, and he was literally cleaning out the desk drawer of his predecessor, and he found my tape labeled Wichita, Kansas, and he was looking for someone on the Big 8. He popped it in the machine. He liked what he saw. He called me and he said, "Hey, we'd love for you to come to work for Raycom Sports." And I had not sent them a tape in 2 years.
Wow.
So it's just amazing how fate happens. You know, I've been very fortunate that way. And then, like I said, once Raycom gave me that stamp of approval, it just led to everything else.
Well, you can hear the pipes on Dave and his knowledge, and you know, his knowledge of sports and his experience are so vast. So if hopefully the young listeners, you picked up two or three lessons that he dropped just then. You know, sometimes you think that you should stop, and then that next step or that next day, something big appears, and typically we stop just short of our next big break, our next goal. And to also have that persistence that you had to send tape after tape for 4 years, and you know, you had a two-year-old tape, but still yet it was opportunity meets preparation. And those are great, great stories, Dave. I'm glad you shared those with us. You're listening to Bartle's Breakdown. Our guest this week is Dave Armstrong. And Dave, what most people don't know, and I have my own opinion on this, Dave is known to break in rookies on the air like he did for me and Stephen Howard. I have my theory. Why do you think the networks put you with the newbies all the time, Dave?
I don't know. I mean, I love it, though. I feel honored, you know, that I get a chance to work with so many guys who are making that transition from their playing careers or their coaching careers into the broadcast booth. I really enjoy it. I like the whole tutoring and mentoring experience. In fact, I've started my own consulting practice as a result of doing this for over 20-some years of working with guys for the first time. And I'm doing it in a much bigger way than I've done, you know, just one-on-one. I'm doing it in a way where I'm able to really, truly analyze what a broadcaster is doing and how they're doing it. And it's been terrific. I really, really enjoyed this aspect of my career. And it's sort of, you know, the next step. And I think I was born to do this. I think because of the fact that it did not come naturally to me And I had to study broadcasting to really get decent at it. And I had to say, okay, Bob Costas is really good, but why is he good? Mm-hmm. Al Michaels is really good, but why is he so good? When you listen to a John Madden, or you listen to a Stephen Bardo, or you listen to a Clark Kellogg, or anyone else who has made it to a really high level, they're there for a reason. Why are they there? And I analyzed that, and I studied it. And so now I'm able to do that with my consulting practice and take it to another level, and I'm really enjoying that. And I think the thing is, I'm a pretty good listener. And so when I work with you, or when I work with Stephen Howard, or I work with someone else, I think a lot of play-by-play guys, Stephen, they are more interested in what they're going to say rather than listening to what the analyst is saying.
Okay.
And I totally believe that the most important person on any television broadcast is the analyst, because you played the game. And I think my main job is to bring you and put you in a position where you can score points. You know, when you were point guard at Illinois or in the NBA, it was your job to set up other guys. Mm-hmm. Well, that's my job as a play-by-play guy. And if I get you that ball right near the rim, I expect you to dunk it. And that's what I work with my clients on is, look, we're going to put you in a position to succeed, but then it's up to you.
Dave, where can aspiring commentators find you on the online?
They can find me at either broadcast-success.com or davearmstrongwow.com. I have a website. Some of it is geared toward my speaking career, but there is a tab there for my consulting and coaching business and an opportunity for them to reach me personally. You can email me through that website, and it's a real easy way for you to get in touch with me.
Okay, we're going to switch gears a little bit. I'm going to want to get your opinion on this. I want to focus on college basketball for a little bit. What has been the biggest change in the game that you've seen over the last 25 years of your involvement with the sport?
I think the athleticism. I just think that kids are just so much more athletic than they were 25 years ago. I mean, the three-point shot has helped speed up the game a little bit, plus the shot clock. I still think they could reduce the shot clock another 5 seconds.
I agree.
But I think that has helped with the athleticism. I think the fact that we have a shot clock and we don't have four corners offense and we don't have guys just standing around passing the ball back and forth and back and forth, but we have guys going up and down the court, I think it's created more athleticism. I think, you know, as the game has sped up, the athletes have had to get faster and stronger. And I think that's another thing, is the strength and conditioning. I'm noticing at the college level, kids are coming in, and they're already strong. Used to be, as a freshman, a kid would come in, and he'd have to put on 20, 30 pounds of muscle.
Right.
Well, now you're seeing these kids are already that strong. I can remember back when Fred Hoiberg, who's now coaching at Iowa State, when he first came on as a freshman at Iowa State from Ames High School, he was the first one I really remember that had a real athletic body as a freshman. He came in, he was strong, he was big, and that kind of shocked me. You know, I was like, whoa, this guy's really built. And it was one of the first guys I could remember, and that was back in the early 90s. Now every kid's like that. I mean, it's rare now to see a kid come in, unless he's a seven-footer. You know, a lot of times the seven-footers, it takes them a while to grow into their body.
Mm-hmm.
But a kid who's a 6'2", 6'3", 6'7", guard, they come in pretty physically ready to play the college game. I don't think they're mentally prepared for it,
right,
but physically they are.
That's Dave Armstrong. I'm Stephen Bardo. You're listening to Bardo's Breakdown. For questions, if you want to send in questions, the email address is Bardo's, plural, bardosbreakdown@yahoo.com. Let's transition into your successful business. You're a successful author, speaker, and consultant. We talked about that a little bit. Your book, Driving From Here to WOW, I'm telling you, Dave, and you've heard me say this when I read your book. I'm not just saying this because you're on with me, but I really enjoyed your take on things and your life experiences. What prompted you to write your book?
Well, I just have always kind of had a book in my mind. At some point in my career, I would write a book. And when I started getting into the more of the speaking, keynote speaking and emceeing, I was talking to some speakers' bureaus, and they said that one of the things that you can do to set yourself apart from just the average guy out there telling sports stories is become become an author. It gives you another stamp of credibility in the speaker's world. And so I thought, well, I've always wanted to write a book, and I'm just going to do it. And it was one of the coolest things I've ever done. It was so much fun. I actually wrote the first draft in about a week, and then it took me about 5 months to finish it from there. And honestly, Stephen, if I didn't give myself a deadline, I would still be rewriting it today. I know you've written a book, and you know when you go through the editing process, there's always something you'd love to add or something you'd like to take out. And I went over that book time and time again, and I just read it probably a month ago. And man, there's about five things in there that I would love to change if I could get a chance. But you know, it was what it was at the time, and I wanted to tell a story of, you know, the humble beginnings of growing up in Detroit and all of that. But I wanted to encourage people. I mean, ultimately, I think at my core, I love to encourage people to dream big and to then act on those dreams, and you know, to put action to the words and to put action to the thoughts. And that's one of the things that I tried to accomplish with this book, is to help people to see a dream, but then go and realize that dream.
You do a lot of things within your business outside of your sports commentating. We mentioned the author, you're a speaker and consultant. What are some of the similarities you see and share with your clients between sports and business? What are some of the things that you take from the sports world that you utilize in your business?
Well, there's so much, you know, when you think about it. And I one of the things that I talk to people about is the fact that we are all broadcasters. You know, you're an analyst. I'm a play-by-play guy. There are talk show hosts. There are news anchors. There are meteorologists. And we consider all of them broadcasters. But when you really boil it down, Stephen, we are all broadcasters, not just you and I, but everyone. Because when you wake up in the morning, you're broadcasting a message to your family, to your loved ones, by either what you say or what you don't say. Everything that comes out of your mouth is a broadcast. Everything that you don't say is a broadcast. If you shrug your shoulders, you're broadcasting a message. If you frown, you're broadcasting a message. If you smile, you're broadcasting a message. And so when I talk to groups, I talk to them about how to broadcast success. How do you take from what we've learned in the broadcast world and then use it? And I talk about how, you know, one of the things that I talk to all of my clients about in terms of my consulting practice is one of the first things that they have to do is to be prepared. That's the most important thing I tell my clients, is you must be prepared. So that means for you, Stephen, that means you have to know the teams. You can't say, well, that was a good play by number 23. You have to know that player's name.
That's right.
You have to know his strengths and his weaknesses. You have to know if he has trouble dribbling to his right or going to his left. You have to know whether he's got a great jump shot or he needs to work on his jump shot. Those are all the things that go into being prepared. I talk about being passionate. If you're not passionate about what you do, you really have very little success, or very little chance of having success. Then I talk about, look, you have a microphone, or in real life, you just have your life. You have to say something. Say something that has meaning. When you speak in a broadcast, I want there to be a level of authority there. I want you to say something that people will remember. I want you to say something that's important, that has value. But then there are times when I want you to say nothing. In broadcast terms, we call this laying out or letting it breathe.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times where that's so important, just to let the action speak for itself. One of the reasons I developed my key phrase, wow, it's my exclamation point at the end of a play, and then I don't want either one of us to say another word. I want then the truck to take over. They're showing shots of the celebration from the players, the fans going crazy, the band playing, whatever it might be. That's the time for us to say nothing. It's very important, too, to be a team player. I talk to everyone about, look, it's great to be a star. LeBron James is a star, but he's also the ultimate team player. He gets others involved. He makes everyone else around him better. He makes their jobs easier. So be a team player. And by being a team player, you have to know what your role is on that team. What's your role? And when I talk to the analysts that I work with, I say, your role is to score points. My role is to set you up. But then once I set you up, you've got to score points. We're all depending on that. Our whole broadcast team is depending on you scoring points. Then I talk about staying focused. I don't know. You now work at a level where you're doing a lot of games that aren't blowouts. You're doing a lot of close games.
Mm-hmm.
I still do a bunch of games that are 30-point blowouts. And sometimes it's easy to lose focus in a game like that. So I talk about in life, it's important to stay focused. We talked earlier, Stephen, about how sometimes where you feel like your dreams aren't coming to pass.
Right.
Well, you have to refocus your energy, and you have to stay focused. And then I talk about having fun. You know, we're in the business of providing joy and entertainment to viewers. But it's the same in life. If you're not enjoying what you're doing, others will notice that. And it's really hard to get ahead when you're just drudging through life and you're, like, plodding along and putting one foot in front of another. And you're just no fun to be around. And everybody's like, oh, no, here comes Dave. Oh, everybody run, you know, because this guy's going to be complaining about this, that, or the other. No, have fun. Enjoy life. You know, you get one day at a time. Take it. Use it up. Enjoy every moment of it.
Those are the silky pipes of Dave Armstrong. And, Dave, it's been my pleasure to have you on with us this week. Let everyone know once again where they can find you.
Easy. The easiest way, www.davearmstrongwow.com.
That'll do it for another edition of Bardo's Breakdown. Please join us next week as we have more information and stellar interviews coming at you. You can post your questions at Bardo's Breakdown. That's Bardo's with an S, breakdown@yahoo.com. And so in closing for this week, success is never owned. It is only rented. And the rent is due every day. Holla. If you're in need of a professional speaker for your next event, look no further than yours truly, Stephen Bardo. Youth, college, association, or corporate, I will tailor my presentation to exceed your desired outcomes. Go to StephenBardo.com for more information.